Luke 24. Christ has been slain, buried, and arisen. About 40 days of his being seen, and people giving witness to his resurrection takes place. And we come to the end of the Gospel of Luke to read concerning the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ. And we'll read verse 50 through 53 for our text tonight. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The last words in the Gospel of Luke concerning the ascension of Jesus Christ. We see in verse number 50 three things. Verse number 50, he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands. And he blessed them. He led them out as far as Bethany. In the book of Acts chapter 1, you're looking at the particulars, and there's a reference to his being on the Mount of Olives, on the side of the Mount of Olives. And both are accurate. Where Bethany was located and where he was most likely in relationship to Bethany would have placed him still on the side of the Mount of Olives, and he could have been referred to as being as far as Bethany and on the side of Mount Olivet, the same being true. He led them as far as Bethany. Bethany was his favorite. Well, let me back up. Bethany was one of his favorite places. That's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. That's where he often resorted for rest, comfort, relaxation from his labors. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. This looks as though he lifted up both his hands. And it doesn't necessarily seem to be a separate action, but most likely is a part of his blessing them. He led them as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and he pronounced a blessing upon them. In relationship to his blessing them, it could be his pronouncing a blessing or saying, God bless you in some regards. It could be the Lord blessing them in relationship to the work that they were doing, the work that they were going to do. He could be saying, God bless you in such and such a way. Or he could be saying, you are blessed for the work that you do. Both are true and both are accurate. To bless means to speak well of. So he may have been pronouncing a blessing. He may have been declaring them blessed for their work's sake, or he could have been speaking well concerning them. All could be true, all maybe were true, all were a part, most likely, of this blessing. Now in verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Again, we see three things in verse 51. He blessed them, he was parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven. As he lifted up his hands and pronounced whatever the blessing was upon them, while he was blessing them, he was parted from them, separated from them. And he alone, was carried up into heaven. So he blessed them. He was separated or parted from them. And then he was carried up into heaven. Here's the critical point of the ascension. He led them to this place. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and he was carried up into heaven. And Acts chapter 1 gives us this visual of the apostles standing there at that location looking up into heaven, kind of dumbstruck. He had led them out here. He had blessed them, parted from them. He was taken up into heaven, and there they stood, maybe not knowing what to do next. I think it's a situation we could all relate to. If we were in the presence of the Lord for the last 3+ years, seeing him crucified, buried, and risen again, and then taken up into the clouds. I'm sure it was quite the experience where they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to say. We come to verse 52 and 53. In relationship to the ascension of Jesus Christ, there are three things in these verses that we want to look at for just a few moments tonight. And I want to pause and remind you that he has led them out towards Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He has raised his hands and he has blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is Jesus and the 11 apostles. As far as we know, those are the only ones here at this time, as far as I can tell. It's Jesus and basically his church. The apostles being the foundation of that first church. Foundation of that first church as the Lord had placed them in there. And others are not yet referenced until we get into the book of Acts. And then there are others seen as being connected with the Lord's church and the Lord's work. And so I want us to see three things that the church did here in this passage of Scripture, and three things that every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to do today. Three things that we as a New Testament church are called to do. Verse 52 and 53 says, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." They were, speaking of the church, those 11 apostles that are left. Judas has been removed by death. His replacement has not yet been chosen. And these are the 11 that make up the foundation of that first church. And at the ascension of Jesus Christ, as they stood there towards Bethany on the Mount of Olives, and he was parted up from them and received up into glory, first thing that they did was they worshiped him. They worshiped him. I would put before you that the first and most important job, job one for the Lord's church, is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the worship of our great God. I think it was touched on this morning, and we've touched on it before. We miss this point, us Baptists and those of us who speak of our believing church truth. We miss this point. We act as though that the Lord started his kind of a church, places his church in the world, and he places his church in the world to go forward, to get bigger. And we totally miss, by the definition of what a church is, the first function of a church. A church is a call-out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. A call-out assembly. So the Lord calls out a certain number of people. He makes them a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they immediately have a work to do. It's the Lord's will that there be churches located and scattered around this globe, and that they be carrying out, first and foremost, the worship of God. I would say in order, before the work and before the going into all the world, we are charged with worshiping the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. They must. And not only does God tell us he's a spirit and he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth, but he makes it very plain that his kind of a church and worshiping him in that kind of a church is something he is seeking. John chapter 4 also says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now is the time when true worshipers shall worship the Father. And the Father, Jesus says there to the Samaritan woman, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. Missions is critical. We must be missionary. We must be evangelical. We must be reaching out. We must be going out into the world. But let us be careful to make sure we do the first duty. And the first work of the Lord's church is worship. Worship him. And upon the ascension of Jesus Christ, the first thing that the church did there in verse number 52 is they worshiped him. To worship means to prostrate oneself before him, to reverence him, to adore him. And here is the first time that Jesus is separated permanently from his church. The first time he is separated from those apostles during his earthly ministry. And the first thing they did was the first thing they should have done. They worshiped. They worshiped. They worshiped the Lord. That's why we come together on Sundays. Not just to bide our time, not just to mark a date off the calendar, but we come together to worship in spirit and in truth. And the Lord's church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Our work begins with our worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I think there's a couple times, I didn't research to get an exact number, there's at least a couple times, seems to me, that people fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him, and he didn't rebuke them. He let them do that. But it wasn't something that he encouraged while he was here. He had a work to do and a duty to do, called us to worship God. But in the ascension, he is going up to be seated at the right hand of the Father and to stay there until the Lord sends him back for his people. So this is the first time they are separated, and the first thing they do is they worshiped. Not only does verse 52 tell us that they worshiped him, but it tells us they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Second to worshiping, I would say they rejoiced. They rejoiced. It's all making a little bit better sense now. They didn't understand all this talk about going to Jerusalem and all this talk about suffering and all this talk about being crucified and all this talk about rising again. They didn't understand all that, and they didn't deal well with that. But once he was raised and he opened their understanding, it became clearer to them, and they understood these things better. And now, in promise of the Holy Spirit, he has taken them out to this point where he is received up in the glory, and they're witnessing all of this, and their fear and their apprehension and their anxiety is now turned into joy. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshiped first and foremost, and they rejoiced. They rejoiced. John chapter 15. Jesus had much to say about joy, much to say about their rejoicing. We're not going to belabor the point. But I do want to just read this 11th verse of John 15. These things, words in red, Christ speaking, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In preparation for his ascension, in relationship to their separation, his going up, their staying here, Jesus had many things to say to them, many things to speak. And much of what he had to say and much of what he had to speak unto them was so that when he went up, their joy wouldn't go with him. And they'd be left here without any joy. He prepared them for this time of ascension so that when he went up, his joy might remain with them. God would have us to be a joyful people. And we have much to rejoice in. You see, folks, we don't just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ once a year on a mixed-up holiday. But we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every single Sunday of the year, every single Lord's Day of the year. We come together to celebrate. We come together to rejoice. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen. And we need to take a good hard look in the mirror. And we need to be rebuked by what we see. Because many times when we look in the mirror, we don't see a smiley face. There's smiley faces everywhere. What do they call them, emojis now? You can text and send messages and pump, 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 pump. Push all these emojis you want to. But when you look in the mirror, most of the time I don't think you see a smiley face. Because we're not very good at being happy Christians. We're not very good at rejoicing at God's blessings upon us. He went up, they were left. He had prepared them for this moment. He had prepared them so that when he went up and they were left, they would have great joy. And so they went back to Jerusalem greatly rejoicing. He is risen. And that ought to be our face, our expression every Lord's Day when we come to church. Every Lord's Day, every Sunday when we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to be able to take a mirror and see a smiley face and have it be a true, genuine rejoicing. God, because God's good. God's good. See, we're on the other side of the resurrection. We're on the other side of the ascension. And we have nothing but cause for rejoice. Cause to rejoice. Because Jesus is going to come again. We're on that side of the ascension. What's he going to do when he comes? He's going to take us to be with him. He's going to take us to be with him. Our sister Gladys professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Gave good testimony to her knowing Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I don't want to sound corny, but I have to say, I think she's got a really big smile on her face right now in the presence of the Lord. No more dragging along the old body of the flesh that failed her for so many years. She's certainly rejoicing today. And those of us who are on this side of the ascension, like the apostles, should greatly rejoice likewise. So they worshiped him and they rejoiced. Verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Put it together this way. They worshiped him. They returned with great joy. And they continued in the temple. They continued in the temple. You see, I know you can't go too far with this, but you can go a little bit other ways down the road anyways. He went into Jerusalem during those last days leading up to his crucifixion. First thing he did was he went in there and he purged the temple. He cleansed it. He drove out the money changers. Said, my house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. He rebuked. He cleansed it and he purged it. And it may have had something to do with the fact that he was preparing it for this critical hour after the ascension. Because where is that first church going to meet during these early days? They're going to meet in the temple. I'm not saying he's changing the use of the temple or doing anything crazy as far as the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jerusalem, Israel, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would continue in the temple many days. Seems like they were in the temple when the Lord brought about Pentecost. And those many thousands were saved, and that's the only place probably that could hold them, in Jerusalem of that great number. But he had cleansed and he had purged the temple. And when he was ascended back up into glory, and there they were left, they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. They continued in the temple. What's the main mark of the church there in Acts chapter 2? The Lord saved all those number of people. He added them to the first church. What's the Bible tell us about that number of people? They continued. They continued. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread. They continued. And we, as one of the Lord's churches on this side of the ascension, are called upon to worship the Lord, to worship in spirit and in truth, to continue rejoicing, and to have great joy in the days and times in which we live, and we're called to continue. How long were they to continue? Verse 49 of our text chapter. They were to continue there in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power. So there was a specific point. They were to continue. But broadening that out scripturally, we're to continue till the end. We're to persevere until he comes home to take us into his presence. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, following the ascension, they worshiped as well they should have. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they had much to rejoice over. And they continued in the temple. And specifically, in verse number 53, they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. So the passage begins with his blessing them, meaning to pronounce a blessing, to declare them blessed in their work, or to speak well of them. And it ends with their blessing God. Pronouncing a blessing, declaring them blessed or him blessed in his work, or speaking well of him. So we're to worship, we're to rejoice, and we're to continue. And I'm not going to go into how that we don't have the temple anymore. We have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the temple, which is the body of Christ. And we should continue meeting together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as one of the Lord's churches until he takes us home. All right, let's stand.